Hello, my name is Sammy James, and I would like to welcome you to Boo-Ha-Ha Podcast. Here on Boo-Ha-Ha, we will have a different conversation every week on a horror or paranormal topic, and all of these conversations are with comedians like myself, who happen to also be horror or paranormal fans. We're going to talk about horror movies, horror books, but also some other stuff that might surprise you. And besides us all being comedians, this show also prioritizes voices that might not always be included in mainstream horror conversation. So a lot of these conversations are with people of color, trans people, queer people, disabled people, and the occasional straight and cis person as well. Anyway, I hope you enjoy the ride, and let's get going. Well, welcome to the latest episode of Boo Ha Ha. Thank you both for being here.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Yeah, I'm excited for this one. How are you both doing, though, to start?
I'm doing pretty good. Trying not to die in all this heat.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, I'm not a fan. I don't know how to function in this weather.
Yeah.
If you were a fan, you would be cool. That was the worst pun I've ever done. I apologize.
No, it's good. Do it again.
Do the same joke exactly.
Yeah, do it again.
Yeah. But, I don't know. You know it's hot because I'm in a tank top and shorts. I don't do this shit.
I got one on too. Ben's the only person wearing sleeves. I assume long sleeves because he's cold all the time.
I was in black jeans 2 days ago. I don't know how to dress for warm weather. But anyway, we're all talking like we know each other. Would you both like to introduce yourselves to the podcast listeners?
Hey, my name is Mark. I'm the big dog, and I do a YouTube show about snacks with my friend Ben. Ben, tell them all about yourself.
Hi, I'm Ben. I'm distinctly not the big dog.
I think he's more of a big dog than he gives himself credit for, honestly.
Yeah, I'm a quiet alpha. Is that possible? It's not.
I feel like it is, though. I feel like, you know, like, I mean, actually, if you go by dogs, I actually think that, like, the alphas are usually quiet because they don't need to yell.
Yeah, what type of dog did you have that quietly escaped to the yard?
Yeah, I have a Brittany. It's a spaniel.
Mm.
Yeah, and the other one's a foxhound. She's usually the one who wants to go out in the heat, but she wants nothing to do with today. She's just like, I will be in front of this fan. Wake me when dinner is ready.
Yeah, if that dog was a fan, it would already be cool.
Hey, that's a good joke. I wish I'd said it.
My friend Ben did it. He might be secretly the big dog.
Yeah.
Me into thinking I'm the big dog so we can make all the big dog decisions.
Yeah. Yeah. And here's the thing. Like, I mean, we do know each other, but it dawned on me getting ready for this. I don't think you and me have ever had, like, a real conversation, Ben.
That's true. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. It's been like hellos at comedy things.
Yeah, now's the time to do it. Both of you share your greatest fears and dreams.
What? Have you been looking at my list of questions? No, but I will ask this, both you. First thing I ask on this, have either of you ever had... Oh, that's not the question I ask. First, it is one of them. I will ask you if you've had any real paranormal experiences. Actually, you know what? I already started with that. Let's ask that. That's usually how I end, but here we go. Have you ever had a real paranormal experience? Maybe at a summer camp?
I haven't.
Great. All right.
Yeah, I don't think I've had a paranormal experience either. I mean, occasionally I've had, like, been really sleep deprived and had, like, mild visual hallucinations, but my brain has never told me that it's, like, aliens or ghosts or anything like that.
Okay.
But maybe one day.
Yeah. What do you see in these hallucinations?
You know, just, like, shadowy figures telling me to, like, go to their planet or whatever, but they're not ghosts or aliens.
It's like, I was gonna be like, shadow people are a thing, and then you added the planet thing? I'm like...
If they were real aliens, would you go with them?
Yeah, shadow people, they're like... What?
Yeah, no, tell me about shadow people. I'm more interested in that.
Oh, no, I want to know if you go to an alien planet.
Yeah.
I guess I wouldn't... I'd be pretty suspicious, mostly because of that episode of The Twilight Zone.
Which one?
It's...
You know, the one!
It's called To Serve Man.
Yep.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, the cookbook.
Spoilers for a TV show that came out 70 years ago. Apologies in advance. It's called To Serve Man, and aliens like come to the planet Earth, and they're like, "We're gonna help you and cure all your problems." And people are like, "We don't trust you." And so then they leave some book. And then humans are like trying to translate the book, and the title they get is called To Serve Man, and like, "Oh, great, aliens are here to help us." They all board the alien ships, and then as this,
yep,
as like the guy is boarding, then another translator person comes with like a piece of paper Russian. You're like, "No, we translated the rest. It's a cookbook."
Oh my god!
To Serve Man.
So yeah, the Simpsons did a version of it.
What was the Simpsons version?
It is essentially the same. Oh, it was like Lisa translated their book, and it was like how to cook humans.
Yeah.
And then one of the aliens was like blew some dust off it, and it says how to cook for humans. And then she's like, no, blows some more dust off, and it says how to cook 40 humans.
That's funny.
Isn't it weird that, like, that the alien language also has two meanings of the word serve that are the exact same? Like, we have, like, to serve in terms of, like, do things for somebody, and then also to serve as in to, you know, give something for a meal. It's weird that that would be the same thing in their language as well.
Yep.
But.
You know, but life's funny like that.
Yeah, let me talk to these Twilight Zone writers.
I don't think you can. I don't think you can.
Unless you believe in the paranormal.
But anyway, shadow people. A shadow person, I'm on Wikipedia. Rather than try and like put it together myself, a shadow person, also known as a shadow being or shadow figure, is the perception of a patch of shadow as living humanoid figure, and interpreted as the presence of a spirit or other entity. Oh, that's... So, like, Wikipedia is right up top saying, like, hey, these things aren't real, but some people think they are.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's real mean.
Did you ever think they were real?
No, I just, even from an early age, I was like, my brain probably just assumes it's people, because that's most of the shapes I know are people shapes.
That's true.
Yeah, I wish I had a more fun brain that would allow me to, you know, enjoy the possibilities that shadows could be sentient so I could live in fear at all times.
That would be great.
That would be something.
Yeah. I don't know, I think I have that.
Is it fun?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but anyway, we're going to be talking about probably one of the most iconic horror movie series soon. But actual first thing I ask on this, what was both of your introduction to horror? And if it was this, that's fine.
I don't think I briefed Ben on what series I requested to talk about. Ben,
oh, that's even better.
Ben, have you ever seen a Friday the 13th movie?
I think I know what the concept of them is.
Good.
But I was trying to play cool the whole time, and you're like, the series we're going to be talking about. I was like, oh, but of course. It's like, how do I secretly Google on my phone the entire synopsis of this series? Well, that's the question. My first introduction to horror, I think The Shining was the first horror film I ever saw or ever remember seeing.
Yeah. Oh, really?
That's one of my first. That was a definite intro for me.
That's a good first horror movie, I think, because it's very weird. Mm-hmm. And I saw it only like last year, and and I think like a lot of things are inspired by it. So by the time I saw it, I was like,
yeah,
this is weird, but like I've kind of like seen some of this. Whereas if you haven't seen anything scary before and then you see The Shining, poof.
Yeah.
You know, Ben was just living in a life where all TV shit ended nicely, and then all of a sudden,
yeah,
there's creepy girls in the room.
Mm-hmm. For a second, I honestly thought Ben was going to be like, well, this will be my intro to horror.
I think my introduction to horror stuff was probably the Nickelodeon show, Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Yeah.
Where it would be like each week they would like tell a scary story. I remember some of them were very scary.
Yeah, that fucking computer. There's like a computer episode.
Yeah.
I'll still like I've rewatched like a lot of that old series. That one, I'm like I'm not.
What are you watching on?
I don't even remember. I've seen it.
I might check some of those out. There's one where like. They're all wearing, like, evil glasses or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that one being very scary to me. But I'm sure if I watched it now, it's probably not scary at all.
They're wearing glasses?
And yeah, but, like, they're evil.
Is this, like, a children's They Live?
And, like, yeah, and, like, the bad guys win at the end. Like, they win, and then...
Because they wear contacts?
I just remember, like, at the end of it, they're like, you lost. And I was just like, they lost! And just being, like, shocked. Mortified.
Actually, I do remember, I don't know if we're allowed to talk about books here.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think so. Okay. I don't think it's appropriate.
No, absolutely. If that, like, I've been wanting to talk about horror, like, novels on this. No one's been interested. I'm like, hey, you want... So I had someone like, well, I mean, I'm much... You know, I really like Stephen King. You want to talk about any of the books? Like, no.
Yeah, this... I haven't read many horror novels. I'm sorry to... not be able to properly converse with you, but I remember there's some book from my childhood where it was like someone's walking home at night and they keep asking people the time, which seems very weird, but it's always like someone, they ask for the time and they have really, their teeth are too long, and each person they talk to, the teeth are even like longer and more yellow, and I think that was the point of the book.
Okay.
It's scary to have bad dental hygiene.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's pretty gross. Actually, right now, I'm reading The Shining by Stephen King.
I just finished it a little while ago.
Yeah, and look how far deep I am, Ben.
Yeah.
It's nice. It's pretty deep into the book, right?
Yeah, I haven't read that book in, like, 10 years, so I don't really remember it, but,
Yeah, I saw The Shining movie, and I was like, what's happening? Most, for, like, a lot of it. Now I'm reading the book, and I'm like, oh, okay, I get what they were doing at these parts.
Yeah. But, anyway... I'm actually gonna ask a new question, which is very similar. You're the first people. There's a lot of firsts on this episode. First time I'm talking to two people on one podcast episode. First time asking this new question. So What can you remember being the first horror movie that you loved? Like, maybe not the first one you saw. Because I know, like, Shining was pretty early for me, but that, like, Nightmare 3 Dream Warriors, that was the one that, like, really, like, started my, like, okay, that was cool.
Okay, wait, sorry, just to ask, so did you watch the first, I don't even know what the series is, but you like watched the first two and you weren't into it and you saw the third and then like it finally clicked?
No, the third was the first one in like the No, actually, I remember No, actually, yeah, the third was the first one I ever saw.
I've still never seen that Nightmare on Elm Street movie. It's in the Nightmare on Elm Street series. Ben, have you ever seen this?
That's the one where they can kill you in your dreams and the guy has really long fingernails.
He's got like little knives on his fingers. Not that his nails are just really long.
He has a glove. It's a glove. It's like,
Some of
listen.
those movies are really good. Like with Nightmare on Elm Street, I know the first one I love, and I love Wes Craven's New Nightmare. And then I've heard the third one's good, but I've only seen like one, two. I've seen Freddy's Dead, and I think New Nightmare. Also, what might have been my first favorite horror movie, this is going to be a weird answer, but I
No,
loved Freddy
absolutely.
versus Jason,
Okay.
where Jason Voorhees fights Freddy Krueger. I love that. It was like a big like wrestling match, you know. It was this huge movie, and they fight the whole time. And this is a sort of spoilers for Freddy versus Jason. Can I spoil Freddy versus Jason on this?
It's yes.
Okay,
Spoiler
so
alert.
at the end of it, they have this like, a big apocalyptic battle. And you don't know who won. And in the last shot, Jason emerges from the water. So that you're like, so everyone in the theater is like, oh fuck, Jason won. And one dude in the crowd just stood up and went, yeah! Like raised his arms and cheered. Because he's a Jason guy. And then like the camera pans down. And he's got Freddy's severed head. And he's walking away. And then Freddy looks at the camera and winks. And all the people in the audience that loved Freddy, to like spite that one guy, were all of a sudden just like, yeah, like cheering. And I don't know how scary of a movie Freddy vs. Jason is, but that was like my first, I think probably favorite horror movie.
Absolutely.
United a movie theater.
Yeah, it was so fun. Then I also liked other movies that I know aren't as good that like stick in my head. For some reason, the remake of Texas Chainsaw Massacre sticks in my head.
Okay.
Maybe just because like I was young enough age that like I hadn't seen a lot of things like that. What about you, Ben?
I remember really enjoying The Shining the first time I saw it, so I think that was also the first horror movie that I enjoyed. I'm not against seeing movies in theaters. I don't think they're just a private experience, but I don't know if I've ever seen a horror movie in theaters.
You haven't seen a
Maybe
horror
not.
movie in theaters?
No, I feel like they're always like you see them like with like a group of friends like around like a TV or something. Like
Oh no, I'll go see horror movies in theaters. I've
Yeah,
seen
and it's, I mean, seeing horror movies in theaters, it's a real like communal experience.
Even movies that I know are bad that I've seen in theaters, I've had a good time. Like I saw that movie The Nun in theaters. And I don't think The Nun's any good, but like I was watching it, my friends were there, we
So
didn't watch
bad.
it. Great time.
I'm sorry, I take that back. I actually realized I saw the Witch in theaters, but I feel like it wasn't really that scary. Is that okay to say?
Absolutely. I listen. If they're gonna yell at you, they're gonna yell at me. I didn't like it.
I feel like the scariest part was they just had to like work on a farm in the 1700s. That was really.
It's like, God, I'm making so many enemies through this podcast. Just like being a trans person running a horror podcast to begin with. It's just like, but I've gotten like movies mixed up on here, and now I'm like, and I didn't like The Witch. When
Should have
this
been
shit
a two R movie together at some point, but I can't remember. I
when
know
this
I went into Parasite thinking it would be a horror movie, but then it would just I
it
was
was a
like,
horror movie. It was
okay, yeah, but Ben, you saw Parasite. We
okay.
got you.
You got me after I already admitted the thing about a different movie.
You've been gotten.
Yeah. Okay, but anyway, we can get into the actual discussion of this episode. Friday the 13th.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Ben, so, I've seen all of them.
Congrats.
I've seen, there's like 12 of them.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Yeah. Jason X is my favorite. Let's just see how many enemies I can make.
Well, all right, so have you guys seen Halloween?
Yep.
So I feel like the first Halloween is like really, really good. And then when the sequels aren't that good, you're like, oh, they ruined it. Whereas like the first Friday the 13th is like good, but it's not so good that like the sequels are that much worse.
Yeah.
So it feels like it gets weird at certain points, but it sort of maintains a quality throughout.
But so Mark, here's a easy question. Who's the killer in Friday the 13th?
The first one?
Yeah.
All right, well, in the first one you think it's Jason, but it's actually Jason's mother is the killer.
Yeah.
That's the big twist at the end.
Yeah. Okay, good. Good. I was going to turn it into a whole like tie into Scream and be like, "Wow, you wouldn't have survived that first Scream movie." But whatever, this is fine. You know your stuff. Great.
Yeah, Ben, do you know what Jason looks like?
Like the hockey mask and the machete?
Yeah, he doesn't have that in the first ones.
He has a bag on his head.
The killer. Yeah, in the second one, he's got a bag on his head.
Yep.
And the third one, he finds a hockey mask, and then he keeps it for the rest of it. But the Friday the 13th movies are, like, really weird. Like, first off, it starts out weird with him not being the killer. And then, like, there's other ones. The fourth one is called The Final Chapter because I thought it would not get to do anymore.
Yeah.
And then the fifth one is just called, like, A New Blood or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just restarts.
Yeah.
But the fifth one, they were going to have a different killer. But the twist at the end is that – no, the twist at the end of the fifth one is that it's not Jason's the killer. It's a guy dressed like Jason. The fifth one's my favorite because it's like insane basically the entire time.
Yeah. What's the one where with the telekinetic girl? Is that six?
That's seven. Yeah, and one of them he fights a telekinetic girl. That one's really good too.
Yeah, that's probably my favorite. That's one of them.
Six is probably the worst because six is the one where he has to get brought back to life in the end at the beginning of each one, and that one I think is the laziest brought back to life.
Okay. I'm sorry, six is the worst. Are we forgetting Jason Takes a Boat?
Oh, actually, yeah, Jason takes Manhattan is pretty bad. But no, in six, they revive him by just electrocuting him, which is the laziest way to revive Jason.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Takes Manhattan is bad because people go so Ben, Jason lives at a summer camp. And the summer camp, the campers, they take a boat to Manhattan, you know, where you live. They take
Manhattan, Canada. Manhattan.
Yeah, and
it's filmed in Canada. That's the reference I'm making.
Yeah, they take a boat to Manhattan. So the majority of the film takes place on a boat, not in Manhattan. He's only in Manhattan for the last 15 minutes.
And they didn't even try and make it look like New York.
Yeah, but it's that one's probably the most boring one because it's mostly boat stuff.
Mm-hmm. Fuck boats.
If he's living in this like peaceful summer camp, why does he need to be killing people all the time?
Because Ben, you don't understand. He was like a mentally disabled boy, and then he drowned because the camp counselors they were having sex instead of watching him.
Yep.
Oh.
So now anytime anyone has sex in the camp, he has to kill them.
Okay, so it's like chastity camp.
Yeah, which I imagine you'd be a big fan of.
It's just like, wait. And then here's the thing, like, huh.
So the hockey team has sex, and that's why he gets the mask.
I think there was a guy with a hockey mask there, and then, and he took the mask, and he just kept it. Looked good in it. He did.
What?
There's one of the other craziest ones is Jason Goes to Hell, which is...
Oh, I was going to bring it up!
Yeah, and in Jason Goes to Hell, it starts out with him immediately being murdered by a SWAT team.
Yeah, they blow him up.
Yeah, and then the first 5 minutes of the movie, and then you're like, I guess the movie, like, I don't know what this is going to be now. And then they're doing a dissection of his body, mm-hmm. and they got the heart like on this tray, and then like the doctor doing the dissection starts looking at the heart all weird. They do this a great thing where they have a close up on the heart and close up of the guy, heart guy, and then you get this thought in your head, you're like, I feel like, I don't know why, but I feel like this guy's about to eat this heart, and then he does, and he eats Jason's heart, and he takes on Jason's essence.
Yep.
Nice.
And then, so people go from around the world, and Jason goes from person to person. Mm-hmm. His essence travels, and he's killing people, and it's crazy.
Yep.
So that one's a good one, too.
Does he go to hell, though? Is that part, or just the title?
Yeah, at the end of the movie, Jason's, this is a spoiler as well, Freddy Krueger's hand comes out of the sand and drags Jason into hell. Mm-hmm.
I mean, hell's probably where all the people that have sex go, so he's going to have a field day.
Yeah, he's down there. And then 10 years later, they made Jason Freddy vs. Jason. Took a little bit.
Yep.
I haven't seen that, but I have seen, I think, the sci-fi equivalent, which is Alien vs. Predator.
That's a good one. Nice. I like Alien vs. Predator.
I actually really like those movies.
AVP.
It's like, I love the fucking Predator movies. Even like the anytime there's a Predator movie, I'm just like, I want to see it. I know it's gonna be bad. Yeah. I know.
I like Predator. Hot take: I don't like Alien. I don't care for it. I don't like any Asian.
I think they all
stink, okay. And I hate them.
Okay, I'm gonna boot you from this. I'm just gonna talk to Ben about a movie he's never seen.
All right, yeah. Bye guys. Check out Stack Attack.
Tell us why you're wrong about Alien, Mark.
I don't know. My grandparents had a VHS of the first one. I put it in, and it was just so slow, so I turned it off. Mm-hmm. And then I like tried watching Alien 2, and I
Aliens. Alien 2.
And I don't know, but I kind of like Prometheus. That one was kind of fun.
Oh no! You can't see Jesus.
Where they do that? They do the C-section of that woman.
Yeah, for sure. Does it to herself?
Yeah, that was good. I imagine that's probably not how, like, you know, medical science works. But I was a big fan of that.
I mean, maybe in the future.
But Predator's always a good time, I think. Yeah. I think maybe the first Predator.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like Predator a lot. Also, I'm a big fan of Archie Meets Predator, the comic book. That's a good time as well.
What?
Yeah, Archie meets everybody. Archie's like a 50s comic book character, and he lives in like a 50s like teenage lifestyle, and they have like a bunch of comics where he meets like Glee and Michael Strahan and all sorts of other celebrities.
Yeah. Okay. And
he meets the Predator. It's very
now, listen, you've brought up Archie. You were in no way prepared for this, but actual reason I've had you here is, Mark, explain Riverdale to me.
Riverdale? Riverdale, okay, so the long explanation of Riverdale was that Archie Comics doesn't sell a lot of comics, but they figured out a few years ago that they just act crazy, they can sell more comics because it'll get media attention. So they started doing all these, like, flashy things where, like, they did alternate futures where, like, Archie married Betty or Veronica. They made a comic. Well, the way they figured it out was they made a comic book where Archie met his first gay person in 70 years. And then that sold out, and they were like, we haven't sold out a comic in forever. So then they just started doing all sorts of weird things. And that eventually led to, like, making a horror comic called Afterlife with Archie.
Yep.
Where the Archie and the gang become zombies. And then that became so popular, they were like, let's make a show. And the show somehow became Riverdale, which is just, like, an Archie Comics murder mystery. I've only seen the first season, but I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I've heard there's some queer people on it, so that's cool.
On Riverdale?
Yeah.
I don't remember. Kevin Keller's on that. He's the first gay person that Archie ever met.
Oh.
He has more personality in the show than he does in the comics. Mm-hmm. In the comics, he's kind of a commercial for gay people. So like a typical Kevin Keller will be like, look, Kevin Keller likes to snowboard. And then I guess kids learn that gay people like to snowboard. entirety of the drama of the comic. There's one where he meets George Takei from Star Trek.
Oh.
And the plot of the comic is that Kevin Keller has to write an essay about a person he admires. So he writes it about George Takei, and then they mail it to him, and then George Takei goes, "This is a nice boy," and goes to Riverdale and then tells everybody, "Look at this great boy," and then the comic is over. Like, there's no drama or story or bad thing that happens. It's just a series of events that are kind of pleasant.
Great. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, and
pleasant events. The much less popular book series by Romney Snicket.
Wow. But you know, Mark, Afterlife with Archie was actually the first conversation you and me ever had.
Oh, did we?
I was like, well, the first one I ever had with you was, "Hey, you were pretty funny. Come do my comedy show that I have here at the Pride Center."
Yeah.
I have straight people on sometimes. And then at that, afterwards, you were talking with my co-host.
Yeah.
I said, "Yeah, isn't there some weird Archie book where he fights zombies?"
Yeah. Archie is the thing I'm like low-key obsessed with. So I was like, yeah. And then, like, I talk about Afterlife with Archie with a lot of people, but I imagine that's probably why I don't fully remember this. But I love Afterlife with Archie.
Yeah. And that was the birth of our wonderful friendship.
Hell yeah.
Yep. Like all real friendships started with Archie.
Yeah. And now your first real conversation with Ben is also about Afterlife with Archie.
Yeah, great. I mean, it was supposed to be Friday the 13th, but you can't, don't fight it. But anyway.
You ever watched like a whole horror series? Like a Friday the 13th or Nightmare on Elm Street? Like, have you like ever watched all the sequels, or do you not mess with that?
I mean, if Alien is a horror series, then I guess I've seen most of them.
Even Prometheus?
Yeah, even Prometheus.
Ben's mother is a film professor.
Huh. Cool.
So Ben's like real smart.
Everybody about my mother.
What?
You're like, this is what Ben's mother is.
Yeah, listen, that's not a bad thing. It's not like I'm being... It's not like I'm saying...
Yeah, no, I wasn't saying that you were like, you know... I'm just saying, the person who's most qualified to talk about it, you can just be like...
No, well, Ben likes smarter movies. We'll watch a movie, like a Terminator movie, and I'll be like, isn't that great? And he's like, well, the cinematography. And he'll say, the mise-en-scene was off or something. some big thing, and I don't know. It's not enough for just be robots.
But anyway, if you'll allow me to, we can return to Friday the 13th.
Hell yeah.
I have some facts open about Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
And then there's a video I don't know if either of you have seen, but I'll tell you about it later. But first, the film was being advertised before it even had financing.
Hmm.
Yeah. So Cunningham took out an ad on July 4th, 1979, in Variety, featuring the film's now iconic logo bursting through glass. At the time, the general structure of the film was in place, but production had not yet agreed to finance it, and the advertised November 1979 release date was a pipe dream. But he did get a response from the ad, and everybody wanted it, so they made it.
Yeah, I love that they're just like a horror movie called Friday the 13th, and everyone's like, great title, let's make this.
So
this is like before crowdfunding. You just had to buy an ad in a newspaper and hope.
Hey, this movie's coming out, just sort of fake it till you make it, you know?
Yeah, maybe I should do that for this podcast.
Yeah.
People read newspapers, right?
we should make a great horror movie title and just advertise it.
Yep.
What's our good horror title?
You know what's scarier than 13? 14. We're on Friday the 14th.
Whoa. Sunday the 12th. Yep. Okay.
Yep. Oh.
But
one thing I know about myself is you could tell me any day is Friday the 13th, and for at least a few seconds, I'll believe you.
Yeah.
So if you walk up to me and you're like, today is Friday the 13th, they'd be like, whoa, but like for at least a few seconds.
Yeah. It's funny you'd say that since we're doing this on Friday the 13th.
Oh my God.
Even though we recently, well, I texted you and said, hey, it's Sunday. Are you ready to do the podcast? Or Facebook message, however the kids contact each other these days.
Sure.
Yeah, but so the original title in mind was not Friday the 13th.
What was it?
It was, they were originally calling the film Long Night at Camp Blood.
Good. I like that title too.
Yeah.
It sounds like a letter that the kid wrote home from the camp. We had a long night at Camp Blood.
I survived!
Yeah. Yeah, it's, the camp that Jason lives at is Camp Crystal Lake. Mm-hmm. So I sort of like better that the camp has a nice name rather than, like, a scary name to begin with. Otherwise, yeah, you'd be like, well, fucking, why'd you stay at Camp Blood, idiot? But instead you're like, Crystal Lake, nothing's bad there. Like,
I didn't think anything bad would happen at Camp Fluffy Bunny.
Ben, what were you saying?
Oh, well, there's a clear tension between the name, like, Crystal Lake, you know, denoting a sort of, like, pristineness or purity when clearly this violent act had happened in the lake with blood to Jason's death. So clearly the Wanderers have been tainted. And this is the sort of reason why Mark doesn't take me to some movies anymore.
No, I'm proud of how smart Ben is. This is great.
So, Mark, are you a big Tom Savini fan? Because I am.
I don't know, because one of my best friends since like high school went to the Tom Savini makeup school.
Okay.
And I like just like heard a bunch of weird stories from the makeup school. Not that they do, you know, good work, and she learned a lot there, but it's all too wrapped up in just whatever weird things I've heard from that school.
Okay, so for a second I was like, please, Mark, don't tell me Tom Savini is a monster. Please don't do this to me. I was like, please, oh God, what did he do?
Yeah, just like certain things, like I know. They made, like, a championship, like, they made, like, a mask for a wrestler recently at the Tom Savini Studios.
Okay.
And I was, like, showing it to my friend, and she's like, yeah, that was probably made by, like, the students there, not by him. Like, this is by studios, not by him directly.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, like, a bunch of weird things around that I guess sort of keep me from being a huge fan. Also, in the movie, what's that movie with the vampires?
Dust Till Dawn.
Yeah. In that movie, he has a gun on his dick, and I think that's a bad idea. Like,
I forget who was, but he wasn't the first casting choice for that, and the character was originally completely different, and then like Tom Savini read for it, and they're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, every time you would shoot the dick gun, you immediately would hurt your balls and have to fall over for a significant amount of time. You have to hit right the first time, honestly.
Hi, I'm Sex Machine. How are you? The literal line from the movie. But yeah, so we brought up Tom Savini because Tom Savini does the makeup for a lot of the Friday the 13th movies.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. But yeah, so, and a lot of the special effects were baked in the camp's kitchen. Yeah. Many latex appliances ultimately used to create the film's gruesome murders were baked in the pizza oven at the camp where the movie was filmed.
They had a pizza oven? That's sick.
Yep. Yeah, that's they went to a cool camp.
Damn, just hanging out all day in a camp, fucking making, eating pizza and making a horror movie.
Yeah.
Hanging out with Kevin Bacon. That's great.
Yep. So, the camp is still operational.
Is it?
Yeah.
We should go.
Yeah, it is actually Camp Nobi Bosco, a fully operational camp that the cast and crew were granted access to after campers left for the summer. It is still in use today. Yeah, I'm going to click on the link to an article about the camp. Oh, it's their website.
Hell yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. And I'll promote this camp. If anyone would like to go. Yeah, and they have, besides camp, you know, their camp hours, when the camps aren't in session, they have Friday the 13th filming location tours.
Oh, nice. Ben, would you go to this camp, or is it too scary for you?
I wouldn't go without having...
Yeah, so, we're back. Sorry about that. So the voice recorder I am using for this turned off when I clicked on the website for this camp. Go to the camp. they have Friday the 13th walking tours, which is pretty cool. And yeah, now we can go back to stuff. Gonna have to edit stuff if I remember to. Otherwise, this will all be in there, and that's fine with me.
Yeah, that's all right. Sorry that I'm staying. Mark is getting food, and I haven't seen any of these movies, so I can't really offer any good riffs right now.
This is all staying in.
I'm gonna start preparing a dinner thing for later tonight.
Okay, I'll just run through Friday the 13th facts.
Sure.
Kevin Bacon was not the film's biggest star at the time of shooting.
Yeah. Probably still is now.
Yeah. So he wasn't at the time of shooting. Though he is without question the biggest name in the movie now, Kevin Bacon hadn't done much prior to Friday the 13th, apart from things like a small role in Animal House. At the time, the film's biggest name was Harry Crosby, son of then-deceased singer Bing Crosby, who played Bill. You remember Bill?
Yeah, I love... I don't remember any of the characters' names in that first movie.
Yep. Shelley Winters was the first choice for Mrs. Voorhees. Cunningham and company went in search of an actress with a recognizable name whose career was nevertheless on decline. So she could be paid relatively little and the budget could stay low.
Smart.
That's great. who can we exploit?
Shelley,
how you play Moneyball, baby.
Yep. Shelley Winters was his top choice. Winters wasn't interested. She knew what they were doing. Just was like, fuck you. While fellow candidate and Oscar winner Estelle Parsons actually negotiated to be in the film, she ultimately backed out because she realized. She was just like, wait a second. He also considered actresses Louise Lasser and Dorothy Malone right up until filming began, but ultimately... went with Betsy Palmer in the role.
Is that the Jason's mother?
Yep.
She's great in that movie,
yeah.
Too.
And she's like, she took it, she's like, listen, I know what you're doing, but I need a new car. So, okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to exploit you, too.
Yeah, Moneyball works both ways, you know what I mean?
Yeah, she found herself in need of cash after more than a year on Broadway. Her car broke down as she drove back to her home in Connecticut. She might never have taken the movie if she hadn't needed that new car.
Yeah. That's gotta be weird to be like, oh, I'm just doing this movie, whatever, it's not gonna matter. And then it's like crazy famous for like ever.
Yeah. Let's see. Several crew members played the killer before Palmer was cast. Even as filming got underway, Cunningham was still looking for an actress to play Mrs. Voorhees. So many of the early murder scenes were actually shot without Betsy Palmer. Members of the crew stood in for the hands of the murderer. For example, Annie's throat cut early in the film was done by special effects assistant Tasso Stravratsky.
Yeah.
That's cool, but that also must be like a tough credit to prove. You're like, no, that's my hand up on the big screen.
Yeah. I'm sure there's someone who, like, before this was revealed, was just like, no, those are different, just in the theater. You know, the Ben back then.
Yeah. Ben's always pointing out when hands don't look like the hands they should.
It's like, whoa, those are different hands.
And I'm like, Ben, just enjoy the movie. Who cares if the hands aren't the same?
Yeah, I know, because I spend so little time making eye contact just looking at my own hand.
Yeah. So, in the draft, so originally it was just a woman killing people. Betsy Palmer gave her the detailed backstory.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
She's the one that made the movie. Any of the other people they would have cast would have just done.
Yeah, there wouldn't have been more movies.
Yeah. There wouldn't be Friday the 13th, Part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan.
Yeah.
He never would have taken Manhattan.
Yep. Never would have gone to hell, either.
Never would have gone to hell.
And in the first draft, Jason was just a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was just a kid who accidentally drowned.
Wait, so Jason was in there, but he wasn't... And what was he doing in the story? Not avenged.
Well, I think it was like, you know, a kid had drowned, so they closed. And then, like, someone was just using... Like, oh, people were afraid to come back. I'm going to kill them.
Yeah.
So in... the original script, the character Jason was basically just a kid who accidentally drowned. Financier Philip Scuderi wanted something more and brought in screenwriter Ron Kurtz for some rewrites. One of Kurtz's most important contributions to the film was to transform the tragic boy into a deformed child. It was like, nah, people will care more. If he's deformed. Or, I don't know. Okay.
Ben, Jason couldn't die because he didn't understand what death was.
But now he's making everybody else understand.
Yeah. But he still to this day doesn't understand. He just understands that they're doing sex.
Why did he think he was in hell? The bullies were right! Oh. God, no, I'm sorry. Wait, I don't know what this means. During filming, the crew was entertained by Lou Reed. The crew was entertained by Lou Reed. Was Lou Reed in the movie?
No, I think he maybe just came by and like did a concert or whatever.
Yeah. Because the camp was closed during filming. And situated in deep New Jersey woods, the cast and crew didn't see much outside interference. But it turned out that they had a very famous neighbor, Lou Reed, who owned a nearby farm.
Oh my god.
So they got to watch Lou Reed play for free right in front of us. Did they just sneak onto his farm? That's what I'm taking from this.
That'd be so weird to like take some job because you're like you're broke and then all of a sudden you're watching Lou Reed play on a farm.
Yeah.
Also, I just want the listeners to know that the lighting is real weird on Mark's camera. So he's in complete darkness, but like making a sandwich. He's like,
I'm cutting up chicken to make chicken salad. I've been watching a lot of that TV show Hannibal, and there's a lot of, like, creepy shots of him just cooking food. So that's sort of what this feels like right now.
Mark, you look like, you do kind of look like a scene from a horror movie. It's just like...
Yeah, somewhere in, like, a black tank top. Just
Mark is currently remaking Blood Feast. You know, it's a deep cut for you horror fans.
I'm like cutting up meat, and every once in a while, gesturing at Ben with the knife.
Yep. Do you two know Blood Feast?
What's Blood Feast?
It's an old like proto slasher maybe, where it's basically this guy is killing people and. Mm-hmm. Oh my god, it's actually kind of a prototype for Hannibal. He kills people and serves them to people at a kid's birthday party.
Oh, shit.
Yep. Because he's like trying to become immortal or something, maybe?
Mark.
So, one actor on Friday the 13th was temporarily blinded by fake blood. Yeah, that's too bad. It says temporarily. That's good.
Yeah.
So Elijah Mark was comparing himself to the TV show Hannibal, mm-hmm. where they serve like the highest, classiest meals possible. He's just making chicken salad.
See this is Ben being bougie. Being like, I like classy, smart-ass movies.
Mark's the cannibal of the people. He makes them like sloppy joes and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Just real comfort food cannibalism.
Making chicken salad. I'm gonna cut up some grapes and some pickles in it too.
Nice.
I also might fuck around and throw some olives in.
Yeah, I made some pasta salad earlier.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Ben, what have you been cooking?
Yep. Nothing particularly fancy.
No people?
Well, what are you cooking? Because you're always, like, baking, like, crazy stuff lately.
Yeah. So I found my friend has an ice cube mold that looks like a Kit Kat bar.
Mm-hmm.
They've been trying to make, like, a Kit Kat. It doesn't have, like, a waffle iron. But I found out that if you, like, crisp up crepes real nice and stack them up, it tastes sort of wafery. So I, you know, like, tempered chocolate. Yeah.
Did anyone else just hear a random video start to play?
Yeah.
Who was that?
Haunted.
Sounds like it is.
I mean, this podcast should be haunted. The final scare in that first movie. You know what I'm talking about, Ben. The final scare in this movie you haven't seen.
He loves that scare.
Was not in the original script.
Oh shit, they improvised it?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's impossible. They can't improvise it. It's a child jumping out of the water and dragging a woman down.
Yep.
Yeah, I can see that, because it doesn't really... It's a great, like twist ending, but it doesn't really, like... The movie could just end without it. It wouldn't be as good a movie, but it could just end without it. You know, they say, like, one of the best Jasons, because different people played him. And eventually, Kane Hodder ends up like playing for mm-hmm. most of them. But one of the best ones is the guy in the fourth movie.
Yeah.
Because like, he also hated playing Jason. Part of his thing was he wanted the people to be afraid of him, so mm-hmm. he like almost never talked to his like
co-stars on.
He just you know, got into character and was like, I'm just gonna try to scare him for real. And that's it.
He was real rude the whole time.
Yeah.
Jared Leto is the Joker.
Yeah, Jared Leto is probably reading stories like that. He's like, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to mail bullets to Viola Davis. Like, it'd be the Joker getting character.
Didn't he mailed a dead rat to Will Smith.
Yeah, I'm going to give Will Smith a dead rat. This is honestly pretty, you know. Could you imagine doing something like that to someone so famous as Will Smith?
No.
I would never. Yeah, I would do that to Will
Smith. An envelope.
But, yeah, so we're getting into wrap-up territory. I want to go through a few more facts, and then there's a video I want you both to look for. And then I'll ask you the final question I ask. But, you know, reading this, the more I hear about the shit that, like, Siskel and Ebert pulled over the years, the more, like, I don't like them.
Yeah.
Just, like, the stuff they did to, like, movies they didn't like.
What'd they do?
So, apparently, there's a bunch of stuff that they've done, for the original Friday the 13th, they hated the movie, and Gene Siskel hated it so much that he reviewed it for the Chicago Tribune. When he reviewed it for the Chicago Tribune, Siskel dropped the spoiler of it being Jason's mother, Betsy Palmer.
That's a dick move.
And he wrote, and he even revealed her address. He's like, she lives, this is her address, send her hate mail.
The actress?
Yeah.
Wow. That's
really like, Jesus, dude. Yeah, and I mean, they've been notoriously, they were notoriously, like, brutal to horror movies.
Yeah, I remember him, like, watching the film and then being like, oh, this person needs to get death threats now because I didn't have a good time sitting in the theater.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good that we, like, get our emotions more in control than they do. Yeah, I can just see a movie I don't like and then, like, you know, just be okay. Ben can see a movie he doesn't like with me and be like, the muse on scent or whatever he says. But he's not like, let's go dox her.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so the third movie in the series, I love that this is how the fact is written. I'll explain. But the third Friday the 13th Part 3 kicked E.T.'s ass. So,
oh, like,
yeah.
Sales?
Yeah, with, so, when it hit theaters, at the time, Steven Spielberg's E.T., dominated everything, in spite of being... Wow! This fact sheet! Really? I mean, we just talked about brutal reviews. But at the time, Steven Spielberg's E.T., the extraterrestrial... dominated everything, despite being simply the longest Reese's Pieces commercial in history. Wow! Friday the 13th, Part 3, booted the sweet little alien from the top box office. Wow! By the end of the year, the horror movie... was pulling bigger box office money. The only horror movie pulling bigger box office money was Poltergeist. So Steven Spielberg won in the end.
Yeah. Also, I didn't remember that it was Reese's Pieces. In my mind, it's always M&M's.
Yeah. Huh.
It's so, never maybe... M&M's
back. Okay. Now, Mark, Jason's original name wasn't Jason.
What was it?
I was going to ask you.
Oh, I have no idea. Is it Ben?
Oh my god. It was Josh.
Josh, that's a good one too.
Like, I mean, I don't know. I feel like he wouldn't have been taken as serious. It's just like, Josh is going to get you! Like, oh, sure. Actually, you know, I feel like it would have made it scarier. Because, like, you aren't afraid of Josh to begin with. And then, like, you learn to be.
I'm not afraid of anyone named Josh.
Wait, okay, this is not the video I wanted to show you. I'll get to that one next, but before that and the wrap-up stuff, the soundtrack originally had lyrics.
Did it?
So everyone's, you know, has seen the movies, they're familiar with the eerie, breathy voice, you know, the...
That thing? Yeah.
Those aren't just nonsense syllables. The voice is allegedly Jason as a child stuttering, kill, 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 ma, ma, ma.
Kill, mom?
Okay. All right. And now, so, there is actually a current, this is what I've been waiting to get to. There is a current, PSA going around for wearing masks.
Yeah.
Using Jason Voorhees. That you're...
Jason wore a mask and was sort of immortal, so.
Yeah, but I'm gonna play this for the people. I don't know if you two will be able to hear it, but that's an ad. Got a fucking ad. That ad wouldn't turn off. What the hell? It's just this ad doesn't want to not be played. It's just like, no, you're gonna watch me on your podcast at full volume. But I don't know if either of you will be able to hear the Jason Voorhees.
It's not easy. The mask kind of makes people uncomfortable. I don't have much of a social life. I wish people could see me for who I am. Just trying to fit in. Be a good friend.
Ha ha! No one can see this, but...
Make a living.
So Jason's wearing his mask.
The whole chainsaw thing. The woods. Sneaking up on people. I get it. I don't have the best reputation. But the thing is, behind the mask, I'm just a regular guy. I'm not scary at all. I have a cat.
Okay, so the whole thing is just Jason Voorhees trying to do things in New York, like ride a subway and go to the grocery store, and people are running away from him.
Yeah.
And then it ends with, wearing a mask can be scary, not wearing one can be deadly.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so it is a PSA for now.
Yeah, he's like, not wearing masks has killed more people than I have.
Yeah, he's not wrong.
Yeah. If the doctor had been wearing a mask, never would have eaten Jason's heart.
Yeah, because he was wearing the mask. Yeah,
That's true. Yeah. He would have, in the time it would have taken him to pull the mask up, he'd be like, wait a minute, do I really want to eat Jason's heart right now?
Yep.
Do yeah. I really want to eat that heart, or do I want to, like, you know, fucking just keep doing my job or whatever, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, it has been so nice talking to the two of you about these movies that Ben has never seen. And
I know in my heart you would love them and you would respect those films.
But final thing that I ask on this is, if either of you would like to recommend a horror movie, anything horror genre related that you think doesn't get the appreciation it deserves, you know, underrated, something that, you know, people might not have seen, but that they should check out.
I like the VHS series of films. The third one, but VHS 1 and 2, especially 2, is very good.
I agree.
Like, they're like short horror films, and I feel like horror is sort of like jokes where there's like a sort of like a setup and a punchline.
Uh-huh.
You know, like the premise of like, look, you're in the woods alone, and then like, oh, this thing happens, a sort of like punch. And I feel like in a horror movie, you're always like trying to figure out what the setup and punchline is. And I feel like in VHS, it's hard to do it because it changes every 20 minutes. Yeah. So the VHS movies, I think, are very good and effective horror movies.
Yeah, yeah. I've only seen the first one, so thank you for that. Yeah.
I don't know if it's underappreciated or not, but Babadook?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
Told you Ben was smart. He likes the smart people.
So Ben, and this is when I make more enemies. So Ben's answer to tell me an underrated horror movie is he answers it by giving me one of the most overrated horror movies.
Oh, no.
Oh,
Ben.
I don't think is it overrated? I'm sorry.
I mean, no, it's fine. It's, if you haven't seen The Babadook, go see it.
Yeah.
No, I'm just messing with you. But, so thank you both. And before I let you go on with the rest of your days, is there anything you'd like to plug? This is your time. Social media, anything you have going on, let the people know.
Yeah, Ben and I have a YouTube show called Snack Attack Comedy Show. And in it, Ben thinks he can, like, you know, snacks better than I can or do. And I think I know more about snacks than Ben does. So we have a competition where we have guests on, and they tell us who picked out the better snack.
Nice.
And it's a pretty heated competition. Ben's been pretty nice in this podcast, but he's fiercely competitive. You get him in a room playing Mario Party, and he gets vicious.
Absolutely.
Except for when he loses, then he becomes he's a very good loser.
Okay.
But he's competitive in the moment.
Yeah.
I'm a good loser
is what all my bullies told me.
Yeah. Ben, what do you want to tell him about Snack Attack?
Yeah, it's a good time. We have better snacks than the chicken salad that Mark is making, I promise.
Dude, you love this chicken salad. Come over. We'll eat it.
I can't, and I refuse.
Yeah. Ben's being responsible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for having us on.
Yeah. Thank you. And thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll be back next time. Or will we?